So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be here in this place, dedicated this moment to the Church of the Living God and to Thee, the God of that church. Above all, we worship You and praise You. And we know, Lord, You're here to help us. You're not here to turn us away. We're not here, Lord, to go away unfulfilled, and because we do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And You made a promise that they would be filled. And Lord, You've got an awful big capacity. Needs strength. We look to You, Lord, for that, that You will help us, and we believe that You will. You give us appropriate and due meat in season, strength for the journey. There's nothing that we lack in You, because You're all in all, and we appreciate that so much. Hover over us. Keep us in tune with the Holy Spirit this morning, the Word of God in this hour. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank all the folk again for coming to the services. I sure do appreciate that, especially the ministers. And we're grateful that Brother Miller and Brother Smith and Brother Clausen dismissed their services the same as we did to have this meeting. And we're very happy that Brother Paulberg came with many people, Brother Olson. Brother Bell also brought his deacons and son, I guess the three deacons and their wives up from Beaumont. We appreciate Brother Gunther coming with Brother Friesen. And just so many people, like Brother Pache is also here, Brother Stokely. And we're grateful for them. We're grateful for all the people who worship the Lord. You know, I can never get away from certain scripture. I've always believed, especially like when Brother Branham said certain things, that very simple things, you stuck with it. You didn't, you made it your mainstay. You made it what you looked at, like I've said for years and years, agreeing with Brother Branham. People always looking back at the glory that was, looking forward to the glory that be, and don't even know what's going on. Look, there's got to be something going on, brother, sister. Yeah. See, it's like Brother Branham said, I quoted last night, that Jesus came according to the Scripture, but not according to their interpretation to the Scripture. And I can imagine when some of them found out that this was really it, they said, I didn't think it was going to be that way. Now, come on, that's history. Maybe some of you folk are in doubt concerning the present even. Well, I don't think it'd be. What does it matter what you think? Amen. Didn't the prophet say, get rid of your thinking? Amen. What do you think I'm trying to do? Look, I'm tired of vomit and manure, I just tell you, friend. Do you know that Noah was the only perfect, genetically perfect man, the last genetically perfect man to live on this earth? Amen. The only true human being? Do you know that William Branham, in the 20th century, was the only true non-manure head? I know people don't like my language. I don't care if you like it or not. I like it. I've been down where the chickens were. I'm up where the eagles are. I learned to jump. I haven't forgotten my X-rated sermons. I know people criticize me all around the world, but I don't give a rip. Criticize all they want. That's what Paul said, bunch of manure heads. Okay, we didn't think it was going to be this way. Well, what did you think? And then what did it matter what you thought? Yeah. So, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Now it says over here in Malachi, and I like it, it says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They weren't talking to God and praying. Well, he said, Brother Dave, you denigrate prayer. And I'm not going to make a test here like I did in Toronto, because I was very upset with the word coming back all the time from a town near us, in fact, north of us. And he was informing people, we don't believe in prayer. I'd like to make a little test, but I won't. How many ministers at least pray twice a day with their wives? Don't raise your hand. I do. So I don't believe in prayer? Pentecostal liars and invade the land. I believe in prayer, but this is not talking about prayer. This is your conversation. This is how you're talking. And the Lord hearkened. He said, hey,
I like what I hear. How do you like it when somebody comes and says, how would you like for me to give you $100 if you say, wow? Well, the Lord's looking for $100 bills this morning. He wants some currency back. He wants offered back to him what he's given us. The bride ministers to the groom what he provides. He's given us the word. So what you're doing, you're talking. The Lord says, hey, so I'm going to write a book of remembrance. He says, scribe, archangel, come on, get going. He says, put that book out in front of me. I want to look at that. He says, that's me. He did. And that book was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And you know, God said, these peculiar people that I'm listening to, they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. And we are his crown. If anything is a crown, we are the wife is a crown to the husband. Makes up that great crown, that tiara, not the Pope triple tiara, hogwash. Oh, this is the living crown. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. He's putting words in place of the service. How dare you then be a bunch of legalists trying to pray your way, work your way, this way, that way. Why don't you believe?
Amen.
You say, why do you lash out at me, Brother Bill? I've told you 100 times. If I've told you once, not the same congregation. When I use the word you, it is a principle, not a person I'm talking to. I don't talk to you individually. I don't talk to you people. The word is always a principle. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. This is a merciful God. You mean it's so bad nobody can tell sin from good? That's exactly right. That's exactly what the Bible says. Well, see, I didn't think it would be that way. What do I care what you thought? You want to go eat one vomit? Be my guest. By the grace of God, I'm out of the vomit class. Oh, mother. I can understand, was it Jeremiah eating cow dung? But if God would have said, eat vomit. The dog to his vomit. Brother Branham said it made him sick the first time, making sick the second time. Wait. Brother, babe, your language. I'm giving you Bible language.
Amen.
Don't be critical. He said, I'll let you know in this return, and the only part you got in return is just say what he said. And you'll know between righteousness and wickedness, and you'll know those who serve God and those who don't. Tonight, you're going to hear about that. That's one of the points in discerning the Lord's body.
Amen.
Because we're going to be into his Lord's Supper this morning, discerning the body tonight. Now, say, well, I didn't think it had come that way, but it came that way. That's how it always comes. And I trust we're not going to be of the group, in fact, we will not be of the group, who said, I didn't know it would come that way. Because we didn't know it would come that way, but we received it when it did come that way. So we don't have to eat our words. Now, we're not trapping ourselves. I would say quite a few more things continuing from last night, but I'm not going to do it. Time will run out too quickly. I was going to take you to some thoughts on the rapture and show you exactly what we're speaking of last night. How these things are progressing down to the very minute, but I will say this. That if you ever get any doubts concerning his presence, don't ever turn your thinking back to the old days. I want to read something to you, and just you don't need to turn to it. Just you listen to me, because it's far easier for you to listen to me because than to look for anything. You might lose the thought. Now it says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I understand that is not correctly interpreted. It said, had they kept in mind that country in which they came out, they would have returned. Now, the word murmur in the Bible is repine. It's to look back.
Yes.
And you know, to be sorrowful that you left all those wonderful things you thought you had back there.
Amen.
Like those gifts out of order.
Amen.
And all the Pentecostal lies and all those things. You know, the false doctrines and dogmas and three gods and things. Now, my brother and my sister, listen to me. If you begin to doubt what you know to be true, that has been thoroughly exposed by the prophet, and you start comparing and looking in your mind for what you formerly thought, you will go back.
Amen.
You will go back. There's no hope for you. You're gone. Look, why don't you just keep thinking what the prophet said? He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a message. With the voice of the archangel, he sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. The church is down here. You see? He sets himself at the head of that church to raise the dead. Now, don't get any idea he's going to be at the head of the church at this point of all the living, because then he's got to get them out of the ground first. And Brother Branham said he sets himself at the head of the church to get them out of the ground. He's not talking about when they are out of the ground. That's another thing. So if you get wondering about the message and the presence and those things Brother Branham taught, just begin to say, well, I wonder how quickly we can get him to be the true head of the church. And I'll tell you, just as soon as you let the shout go into action. As soon as you become more that word. You say, well, how am I going to be that word? I'm glad you asked the question. Not that I can answer the question too well, but I think I do have an answer, because Brother Branham brought the same answer in his own way. And it says here in the book of Romans, and be not fashioned to this world, but be transformed. See, that's like a caterpillar butterfly, by the renewing of your mind. It's the same thing in Colossians. You want to get out of here in a glorified form, then you've got to have your mind renewed. You say, where did you get that? I get it from the Bible, because the message of Laodicea is repent, repent, repent. Change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Or you say, Brother Bill, repent means to have God before you. You're a liar.
Amen.
And the truth is not in you. Don't look at me so sour. You ought to smile, because you're going to get some truth.
Amen.
I'll do the sour looking. It said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. It doesn't say it is repentance. Huh?
Amen.
Huh? Come on. How much godly sorrowing have you done to know you were so wrong that you were nothing but a manure head as a sheep of God? Down in the chicken run, picking manure and scratching, saying, yum, yum, yum. Eating vomited, eating great hot heads. My God, what perverted appetite.
Amen.
Sheep back and like pigs.
Yes.
Sure. Something's wrong somewhere, but not anymore.
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you, brother, sister, when you learn to eat, you know, filet mignon, and you get those nice chateaubriand, you forget about pasta fazool. Remember Brother Branham? He said, I know it's dinner time, he said, and I know you're hungry, but I'm eating real good. And I thought, that's like Moses. Bless God, Moses brings down the manna and says, here, folky. And he said, don't forget my face. Moses eating the same manna the folky. That's why there's no big ones and no little ones. They're just hungry ones. And a hungry king is no different from a hungry peasant. And a hungry queen is no different from a little handmaid that serves her. You say, but Brother Dale, I think maybe in that case you've gone a little far, because you see, the handmaid couldn't have the food that the queen has. In this case, you're wrong. She's got the same food. Because bride is bride. Categorically. So, anyway, I thought I'd bring you that. All right, let's get to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11. And I'll try to go through this just maybe rapidly by reading my notes, because tonight I hope I can cover roughly 14 points. If I just mention them, it may be all I can do. But tonight would be very long. And by the way, at that particular rate, I think what we'd better do is to, the sun goes down, according to the radio announcer, about 8:20. I know most of you would sooner have an early service than a later service. So if you want to set it up, would 6:30 be better for about everybody? Would 6:30 be okay? No problem. Put it up to 6:30 then tonight, because the reason we have to put it for the sun going down is communion. You understand that. Because we just can't do what the world does. It won't work. See? And, I wanted to say something else. You know, the books are out in the hall there. There's a brother that sells them. I don't have a thing to do with that, or they wouldn't be out there Sunday. But anybody can pretty well do what they want in the hall. But I don't agree with it, perhaps. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. Beginning at verse 17. Now, this that I declare unto you. Now, this declaration, it's a preachment. I praise you not that you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. In other words, he said, I know that something lies there. I haven't got it all figured out, but I know there's something going on that's wrong. How much has to be wrong to be wrong? Oh, brother. For there must also be heresies among you. That's schisms, you know. That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Well, it tells you flat, those that stick with the word are approved, and those that don't stick with the word are disapproved. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, one is hungry, another is drunken. What have ye not houses we can drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For, and here's the reason, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft ye drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim, you do declare. See, his declaration now, you declare. He declared what God said by revelation to do it, you declare. So you are a declarer, just in the same bracket a prophet is, if you will. Body, body. I want to be a prophet. Then do this. Won't make you a prophet, but put you on par. I don't want to be Rockefeller. Just give me a billion. I don't want to be a prophet. Just do this. No difference. Right? No difference. No difference. No difference. Yes, sir. You've got to learn that one. Paul said so. The very same prophet. Paul said so. He said no difference. I cannot say I don't need you, and so on. All right, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord and worthy shall be given the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and see that that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinketh and worthy eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not that judgment and of condemnation, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, the trial is going on at the time you're eating and drinking. And an automatic judgment is set. Huh? Huh? Not nice, is it? Oh, come on. We're not here to fool around. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastening the Lord. That's judging ourselves. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, you come together, brethren, come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, they need home, and that ye come not together unto condemnation. Now, we're going to read the 17th verse again. Now, in this then I declare unto you, he's making a real preachment, a real declaration, this is the revelation. I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, I hope you caught what Paul said here, and you understand it, because here is a categorical statement that denies that going to church is guaranteed to help you spiritually and physically, and thereby make you a better person. This categorically denies that your coming together is guaranteed to make you better people. Nope. It says that the local church in Corinth met. They gathered together, they assembled themselves, and they left in worse shape than when they got together. Well, now you say, Brother Vail, hold it. Brother Branham said, those people don't go to church to be bad people. That's right. They don't go there to be bad people, but many times they get worse. Because it says so. I don't care what your intentions are. That's not it. I only care what is right. And I'm not a legalist. Because right to me is revealed word. And the proper attitudes have to go with it, or you haven't got a revelation. See? Now it says they came together and they left in worse shape than when they first got there. And we prove that by 1 Corinthians 11 and 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. Now if you then can go in there and get a shot of that which deteriorates you, instead of a shot of that which stimulates you toward good, I'd stay home. A sick and dying bunch got that way in church. Not at home, not at school, Not at the local tavern or restaurant, but at church. Now, they're going to get worse at school. They're going to get worse in the restaurant, likely. Hopefully not, but likely. They're sure going to get worse at the tavern or down at the pool room. But they weren't at the tavern. They weren't at the pool room. They weren't at the cinema. They were in church. That's what it says. And every time they went there, they got away with a little more of the disease. A little more crippled. A little more undone. They were ailing, they were sickly, they were dying. Now that is not the way the local assembly in Corinth started. It was a healthy body when it first met or first developed its embryo stage and began meeting together. Now we can go back in 1 Corinthians 1:1-9 and see it. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now remember, you can only make him Lord by the Holy Ghost. You've got to be reborn. Both theirs and ours. Their Lord and our Lord. See? Quite there, full of the Holy Ghost. Beautiful assembly. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift waiting for the, the apocalypses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the revelation. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful church it started out to be. Every blessing lay there like the Ephesian church, but they didn't go on. Notice also in 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What it says about that early church. Here is what Paul's original appraisal was of them, just what we read. It was the appraisal of their standing by grace in Jesus Christ the Lord, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1:4-9, which we will not reread. They were privy to the perfect revelation that Paul had, it says so, as ministered by Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, came not to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. No, he didn't do that. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery of the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You'll notice the word of God specifically tells you that the gospel is predestinated to bring you to glory. Going to glorify. If that's predestinated to do it, what else is going to do it? Zero.
Amen.
You've got to change your thinking, brother, sister. You've been out there in the manure heap too long. Let the brain be washed by water, not sewer water. Yes. Living water.
Amen.
What's wrong with people's heads? Under the wrong fountain. All right, 12-13 of the same chapter, and he said, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might freely know the things, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. In 1 Corinthians 14:36-37, Paul throws the challenge out. He said, did the word of God come to you, or did it come out of you? He said, it came to you. And he said, if any man is spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, if any man's a prophet, he will admit that what I say, he said, is the ordinances, the commandments of God.
Amen.
You see, there they had it. They were privy to it all. They were actually the spiritually begotten church of Paul by the gospel that was revealed unto Paul. And if Paul didn't have the true seed, and I wouldn't consider even Stephen had it, but he did because the prophet said so. Yes, we know that Paul had the true seed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. And in there, the 15th verse, it says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not yet many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I, one person, have begotten you through the gospel. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be a rank heathen like in the 20th century? I wasn't quite a rank heathen. I had gotten some Presbyterian dogma, Methodist dogma, United Church dogma, And I was dogmatized. I was a dog, all right. And wouldn't have been nice if those days I'd have run across Brother Brandon be spiritually begotten by a true seed. My, well, it worked out okay anyway. But here's this infant church begotten through the great apostle Paul himself by the preaching of the pristine word, beautifully and perfectly given. That was their beginning. From what I have read, you instantly know what happened, because he tells you too many teachers came in. They came in destroying the flock by false doctrine and false concepts of conduct. This church is a picture of the Pentecostal Laodicean age of organized churches. Look it over here in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 10 to 17. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, y'all speak the same thing, that there are no divisions among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me and my brethren by that them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, the whole thing was a splatter to smithereens, broken, shattered. I am of Paul, I am of Apostle, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divine? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now you see, when Paul says in here, and I am of Christ, that's a little bit derisive, because the folk were saying, well, I don't need Paul, I've got Jesus. I don't need William Branham. I've got the Holy Spirit. Amen. The super, super spiritual. We're saying, ha, Paul, Jesus, Paul, I have him. And they had nothing. Because if they'd have had him, they'd have recognized Paul.
Amen.
Because Paul said, it is my gospel. Oh, people hate identification. But they love to rub shoulders and elbows with the Rockefeller and drop names. Yes, I did meet Marilyn Monroe one time in the great John Barrymore.
Yeah.
Hope you caught that. It's my utmost of sarcasm. I shall now retreat. There's a lot more behind what I said in your catching. You should keep that in mind, just wait down the road a month or so. I'll tell you right now. We had a great prophet these days, didn't we? Name dropping sounds awfully good. Uh-huh. Ho, 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 yeah. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?
No, Paul wasn't, but he brought you the word.
Oh, fat, who needs the word? I had him. I thought he was the Word.
Amen.
I'm not trying to stigmatize. I'm trying to legitimatize. There is a difference. Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say, I baptized in my own name. I baptized the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And in 1 Corinthians 11, where we're reading, the 18th verse, Paul said, what then is my reward? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of... Oh, I'm sorry, wrong chapter. I'll get her here now. 18th verse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you, and this I believe. So therefore, they were the divided church. Now, they all say different things and do different things, or do the same thing, or say the same thing, but in a different way, which will cause confusion. And all claim a revelation better than Paul's, or they say they didn't need what he had to bring them. Now, you will recall that I said false teachers had brought in a wrong church order conduct. Now, let's just quickly go through some of these. And I'll tell you what, I'll just read it anyway, because we'll just gear down and do it. First of all, they condoned a limited fornication. In other words, they had not got to the place of open and outright fornication, but they didn't mind if it was covered, especially in a case where a young man was satisfying a young woman who was the young wife of an old man who evidently could not sustain marital relations. And the church says it's okay, because they're puffed up and didn't judge and didn't do a thing about it when it's done in the open. The church today
does the same thing. And they call it an affair, which means something. So you can shack up. Nothing to it. As long as it means something. Yes, I can tell you what it means, because I'm a man. The woman is stupid. Because a man only wants one thing, sexual gratification, which is just about the limit or the apex of what a man can enjoy physically. And the woman is stupid. The church is condoning it. They condoned it back there. They allowed each other to sue each other. In chapter 6. Oh, they said, we'll go to court. Now, you hear me threaten the odd time, but I never do it. I'd like to throw a bomb sometime just for fun. Just so people know they're not as smart as they think. See, the Roman Catholic believes he's above the law. 99 and 99 hundred percent of Protestants are Roman Catholics. They believe they're above the law. This group called the Branhamites had better learn something. They sued each other. They should not have done it. 3, there was no premium placed on the life that should be changed by rebirth. The 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20, I better read them for you because you might be misunderstood. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, your butt with the Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So God has laid down his word to guide us in our conduct toward him, so that not only do we live in the spirit, but Paul said we walk in it. Marriage relationships were desecrated. In the 7th chapter 3 and 4, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. They were defrauding each other when they should have been satisfying each other, lest either one fall into sin. Marriage relationships were desecrated. 5, marriage and divorce was common, putting each other away and remarriage, of course. 6, mixed marriages were allowed. Be not unequally yoked, but they say a bunch of them were. And then they were stuck with their bargain. And then Paul told them how to live it. 7, they were always mixing in idolatry. As in the 8th chapter in the 4th verses concerning things, therefore eating of those things offered to idols. They had gotten into a form of idolatry already before the Nicene Council. Idolatry had swept into the church. 8, they were not caring for the ministry. Paul literally had to beg for what was his. They were unfaithful stewards to that which God had entrusted. 9, in the 10th chapter it is seen that they could not grasp that Jesus of the New Testament was Jehovah the Old. And he tried to show him, he said, that rock that followed, that cloud, he said, that was that same one. All through the scripture, in this first book of Corinthians, we see that there were great problems therein. And now, in the 11th chapter, they desecrated the table of the Lord. Now, someone think right away, now, I just don't know if a person can really do that. Well, I want to tell you something, you really can do it. We go to 1 Corinthians 11, 21 and 22. And it says here, for in the eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. They were actually drunk. Now, it was not the elements that they used that were wrong, but it was the illegal serving of the elements that had actually taken over. And therefore, when the illegal takeover by wrong serving was manifested, then the true supper was annulled. See, you can't say, well, that's the Lord's Supper. It's not a Lord's Supper. Because it says here, when you come together in one place and you do what you do, this is not eating the Lord's Supper. I don't care what you're doing, and I don't care if you got the emblems there. If you are doing it wrong in the manner which you're doing it, and we haven't come to the, we've discussed a bit of the bad manners, which are illegal living. We'll get more there tonight and other things. he said you annul it. He said, that is not the Lord's Supper. Now, that's why Brother Branham said, he said, taking that little round thing that represents the moon, called it kosher stuff. And he said, what's this idea? He said, receiving the Holy Ghost by a priest coming down the road, stick out your tongue, slap something on it, and drink a sip of wine. See, and take a loaf of bread and pass it around. Make some sort of puff paste for the bread. drink some fancy kind of table wine instead of something that's more along the dry line. More natural. Take grape juice. No, wait, you blew it. So she said, well, I don't think that matters. Well, it does matter. Because you're dealing with his death. Then go ahead and say nothing but the blood of Jesus and make a mockery. See, look at brother and sister. 2,000 years ago they were messed up. How much more today? How much more today, see? Now, they were drinking. They got drunk. They were doing wrong. Concerning this partaking of emblems that went back to the sacrifice. Let's go back to Malachi. Let's see what God thinks about something like this. First chapter, 6th verse. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If that I then be your father, where is my honor? If I be master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. Oh, priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, where have we polluted thee? Come on, same thing. The sacrifice was emblematic. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. It doesn't really matter. This was called the table of God. We got a table. And you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept your person, said the Lord of hosts. In other words, offer anything. In this realm, that is not strictly 100% with the word for giving. All people say, well, I don't like the way that bread is so tough. I'll tell you what we do. I found you just roll the thinnest tissue paper if you can. And then you crisp it real good in the oven. It'll crackle and crumble. Don't you try to put anything but water and flour together. Oh, I'll put some salt in. No, forget the salt. Oh, I'll shorten and make it real good. Well, they make croutons in. Put some oregano on top. And some Lowry seasoning salt. Well, you say you're getting silly. No, you're getting silly. I'm telling you the truth. I'm nailing her down. You don't do it. It's got to be right. You tell you what you do. You go to some banquet sometime or some place. You pay for it. You got 50, 60 guests in there. And you say, now, the cutlery's got to be this way. Silverware, what do you call it? Yeah, that's fine. And all this that way. And we are going to specially have a breast of chicken done a certain way. And they bring in a bunch of thighs. They're about as hard as leather because they deep fat fried them and forgot it was time to take them off. You going to pay for it? You say, how dare you? Oh, well, table or something. You know, God's forgiving you. It doesn't matter. Cut your fingers. It won't work. 12 to 14. You have profaned it, and that you say, the table Lord is polluted, the fruit thereof, even the meat is contemptible. He also said, behold, what a weariness it is. We've snuffed at it. Does the Lord's table ever get weary to you? Oh, come on. I'm going to tell you, until something got a hold of me, everything bored me. Water baptism was just so-so. Now I could preach a dozen sermons. I've even preached five already. I think I'm ready to start over again. I preach a lot on this, and I can preach more. I get up to the communion table, Lord, and I'm happy. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am.
Amen.
I'm glad to be there because I know something's going to happen. It's going to be good. Because if I do it wrong, something happens bad. Then if I do it right, something good. Conversely, come on.
Amen.
Come on, you don't fool with God. Blessing, cursing, cursing, blessing. Come on, two mountains. Lord's Supper is vital, my brother, my sister. Very vital. People vitiate it. They try to destroy it. Should I accept this from your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath a flock in his flock of meal, and bowels and sacrifice on the Lord a corrupt thing. In other words, we've replied this to the Lord's table. Here are the elements that we've got on hand. They're very easily obtained, like the hyssop that they put in the blood and struck on the doorpost. Everything right at hand. Then why manufacture something? Why try something else? Why not just do it? But you can't get people to believe that. Oh, no, the ceremony and the beauty, let us light the candelabra. Oh, yes, and sir, get that little lighter just so nice now, like some of these weddings. Yes. They got every symbolic of trap, trap, and balderdash, and the wedding lasts maybe overnight. Dress it up, brother, sister, and you die. Denude it, and you die.
Amen.
Amen.
Leave it alone.
Amen.
Leave it alone. That's the word. Don't add and don't take. Now, this may sound simple, but it's simple. Now, this is the same as Cain and Abel. Now, the Bible says Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Therefore, Cain's offering and sacrifice was excellent. It was.
Amen.
It was right in the Bible. But it got out of order. It was misinterpreted. He thought he could do what he wanted with it, but he couldn't. The blood had to come first. Now, we got the same thing. Even the Lord's Supper took place here. So let's get it straight. Unless the Lord's Supper is properly conducted, it is no longer the Lord's Supper. It is no longer the Lord's Supper. It's your supper. Because you're eating and drinking to yourself damnation. Because when you eat and drink unto God, it's health and joy. Ha-ha. Preacher, Brother Dale, I like that point. Just came to my attention. Jack will appreciate that. He's my good buddy. It plainly states, this is not a supper that belongs to the Lord. No way. He repudiates it. Now listen, he repudiates it, but holds the communicant to what lies in there. Yeah. He repudiates it, but he holds you to it. Because he said, you knew what it was all about. Blood shed. Broken body, significant of death for sin, but you did it. I'm holding you to it. Understand? No one will deny that this is a supper, but it is not the Lord's Supper. What was wrong? Well, they combined their own love feast with it. They wanted to make it more lovely. Oh, I know what they thought of. They said, well, listen, isn't it true that though Paul got simply this revelation, that this is exactly what you do on this occasion? Isn't it true that Peter told us and the others that were there that he had supper first of all with them? Oh, yes, that's so. So we'll have a supper first, then we'll take it. Ah, wrong. Wrong. You say, but Brother Dale, isn't there something there that could... No! No, don't even think. Manure head. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Let it pour away your brains. And my brain. I include myself with you even more so than you. You get a washing this morning that you don't add or take anything. What we add defiles. Satan added one word, and by reason of pride. It was his pride that interpreted the scripture to the woman that he would be an exalted preacher who could tell her the great things. And how many preachers go beyond the prophet? Go beyond the word. Great creatures to interpret. Pride exalts them, brings them down to hell.
Amen.
Be not partakers, my brother, sister, come out of her. The love feast was wrong. They went too far with their love. Most people don't understand love. You think it's that kind of nice feeling that you're supposed to have toward everybody. I won't talk about it too much. I could say some very cutting and biting things here to make you realize I know what I'm talking about. And you yourself profess a phoniness that stinks in the light of what you really believe and what you really do when the chips are down. Ha! I talked for hours to Brother Branham on the subject, brokenhearted. We finally drove into his garage. We pulled the door down so no one would see us. I finally turned. I said, Brother Branham, don't bother talking anymore. I've preached for years and dozens of times what you told me over the past 2 hours. It hasn't worked. He looked at me and he said, Lee, could I ask you one question? I said, sure, Brother Branham. He said, Lee, have you ever done for God something which you wouldn't have done except you did it for God? I said, yes, Brother Branham, yes. He said, Lee, that is love.
Amen.
Contradict the prophet if you want and get your own mishmash.
Amen.
Get drunk on the dregs of your own stew like this bunch did. They were drunken. It's okay by me. I don't intend to get drunk by the grace of Almighty God. I hope not. I raise my hand for his help.
There's only one ceremony that's allowed with communion, and that is foot washing. And the prophet said that foot washing is a type of cleansing by the Spirit. Not us cleansing ourselves from each other by confessing this and saying that and trying to be nice and all the rest. He said it was a type of cleansing by the Spirit. That is why it is in the divine order that it was and is. Communion and foot washing, one subsequent to the other. Now before we go on, let us wonder a moment how a love feast, which is people showing their love to each other, could have been mixed up in the table other than what we said about Peter mentioning that he did have a supper with them. Well, they could quote John 3:16 and say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that the shedding of blood. Let us show greater love that we toward each other might express. That's not it, my brother, my sister. It's not expressing toward each other. It's expressing toward him. It's his supper. It's his honor. It's his death. What if you had some shameful sentiment and you brought it as love? Wouldn't work. 1 John 4 also says the 10th verse, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So they say, let us now show our love. Well, there is a sense in that to a degree, but that's not it. It's to show his death. See? Also, let's face it. Paul tells us exactly what the emblems commemorate. Now look at it. Let's take a look at it. And let's never forget it. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. 25? Yeah. As 26, as oft you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. So there you have it, bread. There you have it, wine. Tells you what you do, and there it is. Now, a little bit a while ago, we wondered why the Corinthians debauched the supper. And you can tell by my preaching at this point, the answer is the simplicity of revelation. That's it. Brother Branham said concerning the seals, when he preached God in simplicity. At the end of the series, he said, I stood before us, and he said, and I preached at the beginning, God in simplicity, and he said, and like a fainting man, he said, and I didn't know how simple it really was. And I said, yoy. Since 1975, I believed in simplicity. I took the hose of God and squirted that chunk of debris, and you know what it is, out of my mind. Right. Simplicity is the answer. These things are not hard, my brother and my sister. We only make them hard. Right. You know why it's not hard? Because the same one that revealed it is the same one revealing it. Amen. And I never found where the prophet had any more baptism with the Holy Ghost than we do. He has an elevated ministry. But when it comes straight across the board, my brother and my sister, the hand cannot say to the eye, I'm not you and I don't have anything. And the eye can't say, well, I agree with you, you don't have very much at all. It's all common. There are no great ones amongst us because the great one is here. I love that. Amen. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible now that he's here. I believe that. See. And the answer in the simplicity lies, as we look at those emblems, the blood of Jesus Christ, perfect supplies.
Amen.
Lead me to that fountain. Lead me to that table. Put it all to one side. If the blood perfects, let me stand before that which bore the blood. In symbol, that which is the blood. Now that makes a different twist, doesn't it? Now we're not going anymore to the table saying, well, we've done this before. Oh, let me do it 1,000,000 times until my mind and soul is purged of the dross. And understand the revelation says in simplicity, the blood perfects the bride. Matthew 5:48 said, be ye holy. And his brother and father in heaven is holy. And Brother Branham said, God demands it, therefore God must provide an answer. God demands it, therefore God must provide an answer? The government demands your money and my charm, and they provide the answer. The only answer they provide, they come and get it or knock our heads off. We're supposed to provide the money. And Brother Branham says, God demands this perfect perfection, so God provides it. Blood. Hallelujah. The blood scatters sin so there be no evidence. Lead me to the table of God. Well, you say, Brother Bailey, you're making too much. No, you're making too little. I told you this message makes everything alive. Oh, yes, and it's always glorified. Remember, it's always magnified. Everything is magnified. So at the end time, He is magnified. We're magnified. Everything is magnified. Greater, greater in the glory. Hallelujah. More glorious. You believe me? Sure, I look, I could be up here a devil telling you that, but I'm telling you the truth for once as a devil. I've been called that, so don't bug you. I kind of got a kick out of it, except the guy carried a gun going to annihilate me. I'm still here. Worse luck. I had to go back and see if you still got that gun. Sudden death is not always sudden glory, but it's a nice thought. Now let us not get ideas and thoughts and get emotionally involved in the Lord's Supper so as to impute any other meaning to it. Death. Death. Giving blood to do what the blood's supposed to do. And I say, He died. I honor Him. It's not our death. It is His death. It was the death of a lamb, and only the death of a lamb that gave Israel her escape from Egypt and passage into the promised land. And it's so today, my brother and my sister. He died that we may live. Death brought us life. We commemorate His death. And when we enter into the fullness of life of immortality that He bought us by His death, we will eat and drink anew the same emblems. And it just might not be better bread and better wine, but it just might. What am I trying to tell you? It's just as good this side as the other side, brother, sister. In fact, if you don't have it this side, you won't get it that side. Oh, yes. Remember the old Scotch Presbyterian? I forget who he was, but he was a great warrior. And he had a young man coming up in the ministry under him. And he turned to the lad who was going to be a preacher. He said, "Son, make much of the blood. Make much of the blood." I think the people in this hour are forgetting that. And when the Great One sits on the throne in Zion, below the pillar of fire, it will be a lamb that died. Death in the midst of life, but only the emblem of it, in the sense that He cannot die any longer. But you know something? I do not believe through eternity the wounds will ever vanish. And I do not believe that He will be anything but a lamb. The table of the Lord signifies that. That is what this supper speaks, His death. Jesus said, "I am He that liveth and was dead." And we say, "He died that we might live." The elements are simplicity personified. Bread is for the body or flesh. Wine is for the blood, the conveyor of life. Don't make the bread the word. Oh, said a bunch of people so-called full of the Holy Ghost. We don't need the bread anymore because, you see, we have the Word. And they said, we do not need the wine anymore because we're full of the Holy Ghost. How full to make a statement like that. Amen. You see why the Word test is the only test and evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost? We are to leave it alone as it is. Now watch Paul's emphasis in the manner in which it was done. In verse 27, he says here, "Wherefore, whosoever eats this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body in the blood of the Lord." Now, therefore, any other manner than the simplicity of faith and faithfulness is wrong. We cannot dress it up. We cannot dress it down. Now, we saw something terrible in that 11th chapter, the 17th verse. He said, "I declare and praise you not that when you come together for the better, it turns out to be worse than when you came." 29 and 30 showed how horrible it was. They were all sick and dying. There was a mess. Physical weakness, premature death. Now, listen, it came from the so-called Lord's table, and look what happened in verse 21. Everyone eating and doing what he wants with drunkenness. Let's go back and talk about drunkenness. Deuteronomy chapter 29. We'll begin at verse 16. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations which we passed by. And you've seen their abominations, their idols, wood, stone, silver, and gold, which are among them. Lest there should be any among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, and go and serve the gods of those nations. Lest there be among you root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass when you hear the words of this curse that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. In other words, he's mixed up with idolatry. He's mixed up in his mind. And he says, going to that table, now we're looking at it, he said, going to that table, I can go there with my own ideas and my own drunkenness, my own idolatry, my own divisions, my own everything. I don't have a bit of trouble. And the Word of God says, you start doing that, and you'll start doing more of it, and more of it, and more of it, until you end up in the lake of fire. I added that on there, and I'll tell you why later on. You'll catch it when I give you a quote from Brother Branham. See? Now, then the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. See, that's the curse of the unfaithfulness of the wife. The wife going to that table is right here. Jealous, the law of jealousy. The unfaithful wife, drunk, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. Here she is. Now, and all the curses written in the book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. I told you, without giving the quote yet. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes, according to the curses that come written in the book of the law. Every man that doesn't do right, he's singled out right there, right there. Now, everybody else can go through the line, and they do it right, they don't have a bit of trouble. You do it wrong, you're in for trouble. But the church has got to watch out. We'll get that later. Now, I'm looking at one side to remember. Tonight, the message is going to take a different twist. But it's all part of the same message. Now, you keep that in mind. We're going into two parts. So the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land shall say when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord hath upon it, and that the whole land there was brimstone and salt and so on, why, he said, this is the same thing happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the same thing at the table of the Lord. Why, they'll see a church that's sick. See a church that's messed up. People dying prematurely. The power of prayer is missing. The power of faith is missing. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Scream all you want. He's nowhere around. You cast him out. Stand right here at his table. Mess up. You say, I think you're making that pretty desperate. I'm not making you desperate. Many are sick and many are dying. What more do you want? And it gets worse. Okay? Is that a mess in their hand? Because, you see, they got into a form of idolatry. And as you're listening to what I'm saying and what I'm reading, and I won't read any further, you can see the Corinthian church was into it, having started right. Yeah. Don't tell me that Brother Branham couldn't put us on the trail and we deviate like a bunch of oxen trying to nip grass until we nip more grass and nip more grass, and pretty soon we're in the Satan's pasture. I don't say we'll end up there and stay there. If we're elect, we won't. But there'll be a price to pay. Sickness, premature death. All right, the love feast was pagan, not of God. And the churches are the same way today. They're coming together, and they're saying, we're rich, we're increased in goods, we don't lack a thing, let's get together. It's wonderful, it's love, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. It doesn't matter what anybody believes, because, hallelujah, we're looking to Jesus. And remember, he died and shed his blood. You approach the, and they're going to have communion one day on that very basis. Amen. And they'll die. They're already dead. Spiritual death. Brother Branham said the communion keeps them apart. Now the Lutherans are ready. They've already made up a way to go to the Catholics. They're Catholics anyway. Poor old Luther. I'm glad he can't look in on things. And when I get there, I won't tell him anything either. Organizational love feast. Desecrating the table. That's exactly what the prophet said. Coming together to show their contempt. And is contempt, because Brother Branham and his ministry was not done in the corner. As Brother Branham said, God had more success than mine. God had more success in his ministry and me than he did in himself. Something like that. You know the quote anyway. You're not unaware of it. That's true. When did Jesus pull the crowds that Brother Branham didn't have worldwide ministry? He wasn't supposed to, of course. See?
Now, since the very scripture we read dealt with drunkenness, I want to strike something here. Brother Branham called all those who sat at this table who drink, who lie, who steal, who smoke, commit adultery to be hypocrites, and put them in the same category as those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost. For surely they trampled underfoot the blood of the sacrifice and the body. You know he said that? He called them akin to blasphemers. He said they were hypocrites. Why? Because they know better, but they do it anyway. They're putting on a face. He put those sins in there. He denied they were born again, just hypocrites. But I want you to stop and listen also. The same prophet. Same prophet said the young man who had his old father's young wife was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was. And he was. Because they put him out of the church and Satan thrashed him. And he got back to God chastened. And then they began putting the screws on him and said, well, you were a dirty bird, weren't you? At one time they said it was okay. And the next time they said, you're a dirty bird. Oh, you were a terrible thing because you were bringing us down, weren't you? And Paul said, look it, hold it, hold it. He said, you caused him trouble enough now and sorrow. Bring him back and treat him nice. I want you to notice, Brother Branham also said, the only reason any church could withhold the cup from anybody, because the Branham Tabernacle, we are not close communicants. Let's get that flat. I don't care who partakes. That's your business, not mine. But he said there's one reason only to stop anybody, and that's what the Corinthian church was told to stop this man for, was adultery. Gross immorality. You say, what about smoking? You shouldn't take it either. What about drinking? Shouldn't take it either. But what about cheating and lying and conning? Pulling deals. Oh, that's different. Is it because they haven't caught you, but they catch you smoking, smell it in your breath? Am I talking to hypocrites this afternoon, this morning? It is afternoon, 10 past one. You say, but Brother Dale, there's struggles within a man. I'm trying to be right. Amen. That's a different story. That's a different story. Sure it is. You're trying. You're fighting. God hasn't taken it away from you, but you've got to lay it down. And you haven't learned to have the strength yet. You haven't learned that the way of escape is to bear your trials. Where if I can find that? I think it's in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I'm not sure. I never know where anything is really, but I try to find it. Verse chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation taken. You are testing what's common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above what you're able, but will with the way of testing make a way of escape that you can bear it. In other words, the way of escaping is bearing it. Fight to the death. Paul said, you have not yet resisted unto sins. You have not yet, how did he put it? Anyway, the idea of Jesus sweat blood resisting sin. He said, you have not yet actually produced blood by resisting sin. And I'll tell you, many times a lot of things cost us. As Brother Brown said, cost your hide, cost your skin, do it anyway. See? Not condoning anything, but knowing there is a place of growing up, as in sanctification. Now, if you want to put this all down the line, like Brother Branham did, in which the scripture abounds in, and the histories abound in, then you should not take communion until you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and fully filled with the Holy Ghost and overcoming. You say, what if I'm not? Well, you shouldn't do it. You say, what if I did? It's not too advisable. You say, well, I believe I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Man, I've got temptations, I've got problems, I'm nervous, I'm this and I'm that. I say, who isn't? You say, I'm really trying. I'm not hiding it. Brother, the man said one day, he said, sure, he said, I was very much into the cups. He said, alcohol had control of me. But he said, I'd committed my life to God. And I knew one day it wouldn't be there. And it wasn't. Well, you with a man like that, you say, get out of here. I'm not trying to open and shut doors. I'm just laying the thing on the table. I want you to understand I've got a lot of compassion, people. And I wouldn't withhold anything from anybody if in faith they came.
Now, let's go get a little further on this later on. I'll touch it a little more, but not at maybe this point. But in faith they came. I wouldn't say, hey, now look at here. You can't do that. I couldn't do it anyway because that's up to them. And they in their heart saying to God, Lord, you know my condition. Oh, God, the blood perfects the bride. I'm trying to be right. I'm looking to you. Certainly, seriously meaning it. If that person drank condemnation, I can tell you one thing, it'd be to himself. It wouldn't be to the church. See, what did God do with that person? God had corrected him. We'll talk a little more about it. Just leave that lie there a bit. Now listen. The hypocrite has no right at the table. There is no command given the hypocrite to partake. But he'll be there. That's right. Make believers always stick around. But the born again is commanded. You hear what I said? The born again is commanded. You say, Brother Bale, I'm absolutely commanded. And I'm absolutely born again. Tonight we'll find out more about that. But I'm born again. You better take it. Just a minute, just a minute now. That could do damage. I know it. But you got to take it. The woman whose husband was suspicious had to go to the temple under the priest where they put the dust on the water and she had to drink it. And there was the chance her belly would swell and crack open and she'd die. You say, the table, Lord, is just some little thing? No, it's not some little thing. It's commanded. Therefore, if you're living in a way that is directly opposite to the Word, you must come now under the Word and repent and stop what is wrong. Understand once for all, because you cannot stay away from that table. It is commanded. And it's up to you how you come, but you must come. That's like the old saying, condemned if you do and condemned if you don't. Exactly right, you struck it. You see, I think God was very clever in what he did. You better believe it. So you say, Brother Bale, I can see now that I can con people, because I'm a very nice guy and do a lot of things. I can lie because I got the facile tongue and make it sound just right. See? And I can take the table. And nobody's going to know, but God knows. So I've been getting away with this for years, they say. Have you? One day's going to hit. Cancer's increasing. Heart trouble's increasing. What did Dr. Menninger say? He said they don't deal with sin anymore in the home and the schools. And he said, no man can have sin running up and down the nerve lines of his body and not suffer. Praise God for Doc Menninger. We ought to have more like him. Understand once for all, we cannot stay away from the table. It is commanded to us, and how we come is up to us, but we must come. And if we get sick or die, it is because we have been wrong within ourselves, we have come sinfully. But if we're weak and troubled, I believe we can come in faith. And I believe we must come in faith and cry out to God for help. Our high priest, being there interceding for us, prayed for by the church, and at that hour say it's all over, as though somebody grabbed you by the scuff of the neck and threw you into Bunyan's dungeon of Pilgrim Progress. And there you did your dead level best to get your smoke or your sexual gratification, but you couldn't because there was nothing there. That's right. There are no excuses tolerated. Excuses are lies of the devil. Could it be we're not born again to do those things? If we're truly born again in the need, he's a great help in every time of need. I remember Brother Branham talking about Daddy Cox's conversion. Daddy Cox wanted to clean up. He didn't know that God does not save the justified. He saves the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. God declares righteous the ungodly. He doesn't declare righteous the godly. No, wait. I'm sorry about that. You missed the boat. You got the wrong ticket. You're nice people. You're legalists. on the wrong train. And the bridge is out. He justifies the ungodly. That means he calls the ungodly righteous. But he does. He said, well, that's great. I'm going to hold it. You passed that. You see, you passed that. You missed it. Now you're righteous. You've got to do different. See, well, Daddy Cox came and he couldn't understand justifying the ungodly. He said, I'm going to clean up. I'm going to do this. And Brother Brown said, now hold it, hold it. He said, haven't you tried it? Yes, I tried it. I'm not too successful. Well, are you ever going to be well? He said, now that's a pretty good question. Well, his brother Brown explained, look, he said, now, if you could find somebody to stand in your place and take your guilt, he said, now, that would be the answer. He said, that would be the answer. Well, he said, I got the answer in Jesus Christ. Well, he said, I'll take that. Well, he said, let's get baptized. So he baptized him, and Daddy Cox gets out of the water, reached in his pocket, after he got his fresh clothes on, and pulled out a cigarette and started smoking. Why not? He was a smoker. A few days later, he fell off a ladder and got hurt. He's in the hospital and give him a thorough examination. Nothing too bad. The nurse comes in and she said, well, she said, I guess you'd like a smoke. And he said, no, he said, I don't care for any tobacco. It was gone. Now, you know what he did? He began explaining from that the difference between oneness of Jesus only and us. He said, they believe in regenerational baptism. He said, that man was not born again in the water. He was born again outside the water. See, something happened. I'm going to tell you where people go wrong. The greatest error where people go wrong is this. When the Spirit of God comes into their lives, as Paul said, they live in the Spirit, but they don't walk in it. They begin looking and looking, filtering away the Word. When those tests begin to come, they don't stand still and say, Lord God, I know I can get through it with your help. Look, I know what I'm talking about. I was years on the road. The toughest battles of my life was to learn. You've got to stand there, or die. And if you die, what's the difference? At least you stood. And I learned not to be a con artist. I don't send letters. I'm not afraid to bare my soul. I'll tell you, I sent one letter to one man because he had a lot of money. And I needed money on the road. I figured, well, if he sent me $300 and I couldn't pay it back, it wouldn't be a loan anymore. It'd be a gift. That's what a con artist does. And he sent me a letter back and he wouldn't do it. And I said, thank you, Lord. From now on, I'll die. But no man gives me anything that I have to ask for. And I never did. And I don't. And I won't. Oh, a glass of water's all right, something like that, some little favor. That's a long time ago, brother, sister, and I paid a big price. You say, in this day you paid a big price? Yeah, get in my steps someday, you'll find out. It was big for me, might be nothing for you. Why, you great people down there. Old peanuts up here, you know. Yeah? Yeah. Say, listen, brother, sister. I'm trying to be serious, trying to help you. We've got to get these understandings right, see. Now look at some think that they can't get over wanting to do other things that they shouldn't be doing, and they know it condemns them. They say, well, I've been through that. All right? Why not make a stand where this time you won't go through it again? I like the guy that quit tobacco, smoking tobacco every morning. For every night when he went to bed. That's not it. It's once for all. Look, you only get born again once for all. These things need to go once for all. Now, so they think they can't get over wanting to do some of the things they're doing. And they're condemned by it. And I'm afraid that all I ever hear from those kinds of people is, can I do so and so? I'm talking about real experiences in my life now. They come and say, can I do so-and-so? And it's nothing but trying to find an excuse to get my permission to indulge themselves and then put it all on me. I'm going to tell you flat, you have no right to smoke. You have no right to drink. You have no right to cheat or anything else. Your rights are on the other side of the kingdom. You don't have any rights to do it. Now, if you think that you can maintain that lifestyle and you come to me, let me tell you, it's all over. You don't get my permission or anything. I don't have permission to give anyway. Or some sort of consent that you're doing all right if you continue in that mold because it's entirely wrong. They don't want to throw down their cigarettes. They don't want to let up on their sexual passions. I am appalled at preachers. Preachers, yes, preachers. who phoned me. And I know they shouldn't stay away from their wives except a certain length of time. But my God, you'd think they're just about ready to rape a tree. The way they talk about their passions. I don't want to make it out. Let's get this down flat. I'm sick and tired of it. You bet I set my jaw. I've been through it. 6 months at a crack. Don't you come and tell anybody, phone me ever again, how passionate you are, you peanut-headed bird. That's right. Same with men. Some of you messed your lives up where nothing but death is going to get you out of here. Pay your price. You say, Brother Bill, you didn't preach this way a few weeks ago. Yes, because I'm sick and tired of preachers and their people coming. Can I do so-and-so? Is it all right? No, it's not all right. I've been trying to help you, to encourage you to get near to God, but all you want is a permission to sin more, mess more.
Amen.
I've come over where Brother Branham came. They said the Christian in. What about TV? Well, he said casually, if you get rid of TV, then get rid of your newspaper and get rid of your this and that. And one day he said, basket out of your homes.
Amen.
And I'm saying the same thing. You that got TV, get him out.
Amen.
Get him out.
Amen.
You the smoking and fooling around here, cut out. I don't want anybody coming to me anymore about marriage and divorce. Don't ever come near me, preacher or men, with your stories of marriage and divorce. Quit! Stay single! Yeah, become a unit for God. You know why I say this? Because everybody wants to be indulged. They want to be indulged. Maybe we're good in the squeeze come down, we get thrown in jail, we can't smoke or drink or have girlfriends. Yeah, can't see TV, get it out of your houses. I mean it, I'm not kidding. Or I'll get it out of your lives, that's all, I'm getting rid of it. I said it. Now don't call my bluff, for God's sake. Don't you call my bluff, because I do not stand the bluff.
Amen.
Just mean it. It's on tape, I'm not taking it back. We're too permissive. I'm permissive. I'm not criticizing you and fussing at me, and fussing you, not fussing at me. Look, if I ever point one finger, there's four more pointing back. And a whole lot more. Subject and birth control, the whole thing, too. Yep. What did the prophet say about that? Oh, Brother Bale, it's okay. I didn't commit murder, mayhem. I can go there. Yeah, you go there. Go ahead and go there. That's fine. You've got to go there. Watch what happens. Unless we're hypocrites. And if we're hypocrites, the devil will get us in the end anyway. Now, Brother Branham said, now you turn a man to Satan. I said, Brother Branham, what if the guy's not born again? Well, he said, nothing much will happen. He said, but down the road, the devil will get him anyway. I figure up the road he already gone. Just a manifestation. Time to live for him who died for us. That's what it says. That you died for me. You took my sins. You bore them upon a cross. I accept your spirit. See, that's the one that always gets me. Every day I pray hardly. I don't think there's a day go by. Oh, God, it's not enough to live in the spirit. I get revelation. I get this. I get that. I enjoy it. There's nothing to compare to it. But always it comes back. If you live in the spirit, walk in the spirit. It's hard. Always try to help people to be easy on them, just like Brother Branham did. We're supposed to. Yet I'm criticized being one of the worst nuts in the world. That's lost. That's okay, though. I am not church with it. But I try to help people, whether people know it or not. All too many want excuses and reasons not to line up. No way, shape, or form, they don't want to do it. They don't want to believe that God will put them in a place they wish they weren't in. They'd wish they dug their own hole and crawled into it so they couldn't get at those things. To know they could endure. Sure. Listen, brother, sister, we are not subject to our passions. Our passions are subject to us. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We do not need to be transformed to the world, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is to think upon and realize that greater is he that's in us in the spiritual realm
than he that is in us in the physical realm.
As the old Indian said, he said, since I've been born again, he said, I've got two dogs, one white and one black. And he said, they keep fighting. Brother Brand said, he said, now which dog wins? He said, the one I feed the best. That Indian had more brains than Columbus had by discovering America. If he discovered that Indian, he'd had something on the ball.
1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Now, that's the communion. It tells you one place where God will do it. That's why Brother Branham says, stand guard. Even over the elements.
Oh, brother, sister, there's no pollution in this thing whatsoever, not even the elements. That's the same thing that says in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and in the 18th verse, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now look at there, a man can lie. That doesn't do him any good physically, it'll bother him inside if he's got a conscience. But it tells you right here, look, fornication is the sin that brings a physical penalty. Gonorrhea, syphilis, homosexuals with their AIDS. Yeah. And people are desperately trying to find a way not to put where the blame belongs. There's a great magazine out. They sent me a little bit of literature. I should subscribe to this great libertarian. And it's not the libertarians, which are the political denomination. But they're the libertarians that are rotten scum. And in there they say there's a great plot by the doctors to play up herpes. There's really nothing to it. I hope everyone gets it. I do before God. I take it not back. Personally, they get it and find out what's there to it. And Reader's Digest writes an article. Oh, it's fine. Just wait 2 years and be careful. And multimillionaire doctors and lawyers have a society that incest is all right and sex before 8, or it's too late.
What a mess. That is going to bring on our bodies death, disease. It's brought cancer now, but they don't want to believe that. I'm telling you, the Bible, my brother, sister, those who take the table, Lord, flee fornication. Clean up your act. And Brother Branham went further. He said, oh, what women are suffering under their husbands. They're doing illicit things to their wives. And people got upset. They said, as Brother Branham said, that men should not touch their wives. And so my wife, being a good wife to me and a good mother to her kids and a good sister to her sisters, she went right to Sister Branham because she didn't want to talk to Brother Branham. And she was handy to Sister Branham, so she had Sister Branham inquire and what have you. And the answer came back, by no means no, that's not it at all. But men are doing illicit things with their wives. And you know what I'm talking about. Types of manipulation and things that should not even be mentioned. Types of acid are horrendous. Full of Holy Ghost, full of what? And have the nerve to come to his table in the tabernacle. Do you want to get sick? Do I want to get sick? Mess around. And the world stands back and says, well, it's all right because you see it's a joyous thing. Now you know why Brother Branham said the primary sex act is primarily for bringing babies. And there wouldn't be babies except for men's and women's genuine interest in the sex act. So God works like the table. You got to do it. But there's a consequence, good or bad. You're born a certain way, you'll do it. Remember, there's a season and a time. There's a right and a wrong. But people say, well, it's okay. I'm getting by. Are you getting by with it? Brother, sister, nobody's getting by with anything. That's why the church is so sick. Brother Brown said, you let this come in the church and stay, there'll be a cancer. Spread throughout the whole church. See, we got it. This is the day of the Lord, brother, to begin to change, to move around. So how are we going to do it? I'll tell you, we're going to pray for each other. That's the whole thing. Now, God told Brother Brown, he said, don't ever smoke, don't drink, don't defile your body with women. If there is a law, there has to be a penalty. That's what the prophet said. 1 Corinthians 11 and 30 is certainly the penalty which is uttered. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, and many die prematurely. Let me tell you something. Many suffer before they die prematurely. It has to be because of 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. We're defiling our bodies. Cigarettes, liquor, illicit sexual escapades. Lying, stealing, cheating, conning people. All those things will not escape judgment. Now listen to me. We're going to go back and read 1 Corinthians 11
31 and 33. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, all right, let's judge. Let's judge the haphazard way we're taught. Well, everybody sins. And I'm part of everybody. And I'll tolerate what he does, and she can tolerate what I do. And we really don't mean to do these things, but you see, we're weak. As the poet said, man like the weeping willow tree bends to the ground, so man, because he came out of the ground, and his carnal bends toward it. What's the rebuke for?
Amen.
Bunch of platitudes. Ignorance. Sophisms. No, to judge yourself means this. Look, I'm wrong. I'm doing it. What if we were doing something wrong and got caught by the law? What about that Dr. Jackson raping all those women here in Columbus? One day got caught. Well, he's sitting there answering. Now, the bride sits here thinking and hoping she won't get caught. I don't take that too far, but it's an illustration. It's an illustration. I'm talking about not settling down to what we should be settled down to. See? There's a light there. We've got to be honest and say, look, I am doing it. When we get honest in our lives and face the issue, that is the time we are judging ourselves, never at any other time, and saying something is going to be done. I told you years ago when I quit preaching was because I wouldn't exercise any faith. I didn't think I had any exercise. That wasn't true. I wouldn't. I wouldn't pray for sick unless God already told me what was going to happen, which is very, very unusual and very, very sparse. Once in a 100 years, I don't know. Once in a while. When I knew I had to go back preaching, having seen Brother Branham, I dusted off my Bible and told you I bought a back suit. And then put the suit in the clothes closet and put the Bible back in the shelf. And one day dying of TB, the pituitary gland, he healed me, straightened up my life again. I'd paid the price. You pay a price. I paid 9 years of hell. And I still pay years of hell by not being what I should be. And I'm going to tell you, so will you. If you're a child of God, you will pay. And you will not come out until you pay the last farthing. I'm going to tell you now, not behind your back, but to your faces. And I said, God, if I got to go back preaching, this time I've got to use my faith. This time I have got to pray for sick and they have got to be healed. This time I cannot run. And I didn't. And I did. I prayed for sick and they were healed. Hundreds of miracles left and right. It was for a purpose. I had to prove a point. The day came when I told my wife, look, kid, the trouble with you and me is we aren't trusting God for finances. You said you go ahead and work. I said, if you want, but I said, it ain't going to work. So the day came when she couldn't work anymore and there's nothing left. We had to trust God. It worked. Oh, boy, it was tough. It was tough. You couldn't ask for money. You couldn't beg for it. You couldn't work for it. You just stood there and you preached and did. And the preachers always said, now I'll have my offering Friday night because that's when everybody gets a paycheck, right? And you can have yours Saturday, and if you like, you can take several offerings and appeal for it. You could have killed the guy. So to speak. I thought, oh, God. What kind of a bird are you? I'll tell you, he's a crow. I said, I will starve before I do that, and I never starved. Poor old lady come out of the church when I was there. She's Brother Vale, almost ready to hug and kiss me. She's so enamored with the things of God and loved me because of what I'd helped in her life by the word of God. Maybe some old soul with her toes falling off got healed, this and that. Sweet sister out there handed me $20 bill, just weeping, weeping, say, Brother Vale, this is for you. Who cares about the preacher inside with his lousy con artist tactics?
Amen.
Well, you say you're bitter. No, if I wasn't bitter for being bitter. I'm happy.
Praise God.
I've been through it. She wanted to go through it again. So? And my daddy bothered. He said, you know, Brother Bailey, he said, when my wife and I and the kids were up there
We didn't have any money because we never took offerings, never asked for a penny. Oh, you know, his ministry is a great ministry. He said we could buy wheat at 25 cents a bushel, and we did because I heard every good element, every vitamin, every mineral was in it. And he said, we got this good wheat, and we ate it, he said, for months and months and months. And he said, none of us got sick, we felt good. But he said, mind you, I wouldn't want to do it again. Oh, Daddy, you sweet old soul. I know what you mean, buddy. I'm in the Bosworth class there, but only that way. My God, I wish I were like that fellow. But, you know, you got to live like him to die like him. If we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. That's right. When you say, hey, I'm going to pay the price. What price? Quit. Oh, but my stomach will churn. It's churning out, isn't it?
Amen.
You talk about cigarettes. Let's talk about coffee. I got a sister here. She could testify. There's no need for it. She was sick as a dog, chest pains, this, that, and the other thing. Doctor said, quit coffee. You're drinking too much. She quit coffee. Now she feels great. Should I quit coffee or not? No, coffee doesn't work that way with me. I wish it did. But I quit a lot of it. It's not good for you. You judge yourself. Say, hey, I got to quit. Now listen, when we are judged, see, we're chastened. Now, if God's going to judge you, you're going to have to pay a price. When you judge yourself, you still pay a price. But the price you pay is not nearly as great as the one God exacts if he makes you pay. See, when we judge, we're trained, and we are not condemned with the world. Therefore, this is what we are to do. Now listen, we know that when we're wrong, and when we're wrong, we are to admit it and acknowledge it. To acknowledge our guilt and confess to him and ask him for help, and by faith, we can go to the table. And at that moment, at that one time, don't look down the road next week, next month, nope, right there, this is the end of the trail. We surrender to God once for all, turning from defilement, never to do it again. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. As far as the acts of our bodies are concerned, they can be eliminated very, very quickly. It's the mind that takes the greatest effort. But even that can overcome. Now let me say something here. If you are sincere but weak, and the church knows your weakness, it'll pray for you. Do all it can to encourage you, but there must come a time in the not too distant future that you don't judge yourself. If you do not judge yourself and quit, the church must step in and judge, because there is no way out. Because the festering sore will spread to the whole body. And Brother Branham said it could be one person's sin that stops the people getting healed. When a church is full of sickness and premature death, it is evident that sin is in the body. You say, Brother Bill, that's only one. Come on. These are only symptoms of the one thing which causes problems, unbelief. We're talking about it. If people really believed they wouldn't be going that way. I wouldn't be going. You wouldn't be going. Come on. When a church is full of sickness and premature death, it's evident that sin is in the body. And faith cannot rise in victory because of hearts that are condemned in unbelief. Now, the make-believer and unbeliever are not targets for chastening. They'll get theirs later. It is sons. Sons need to walk in the light and in victory. They need to live in the Spirit and live and walk in the Spirit. And they can do it because that is their inheritance. It's not a goal, brother, sister. It's our inheritance. We can do it. We must put away personally of ourselves those things which are wrong. And if not, the church is obligated to help them do it, or to put them away if it is necessary. Because you cannot expect the whole group to pay the consequences for one person. See? I'm going to close by reading the scripture in Romans, the 13th chapter. Verses 11 to 14. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's the 14th chapter. That's good too, but I've got to get to 13 and 11, 14 here. And knowing that the time, this is for us. That was good for us, and this is for the hour. That's what I want, the scripture hour. Knowing that the time. And remember, it's the epical season of the day of the Lord.
It's everything is going into a crescendo. His brother Ungren brought about how the Psalms of Ascent. I preached on that one time from the Psalms, Brother Ungren, and from also Isaiah, where when you read the Psalm, it starts out in a low key and begins rising in power and reverberation until it's a scream of a hurricane tearing across the country with everything going before its path. Tremendous. All right, here is the same thing in this hour that we're living in. The day of the Lord is the this is the epical season of the day of the Lord, which is going to end in us coming back, taking over. You better get in the spirit, brother, sister, because you'll need that at the table, Lord, these hours, you bet you will. Knowing it's time. High time to awake out of sleep. That's Ephesians. Awake thou, lest he rise, and Christ will give you life. That's to the Gentiles. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You bet he's right here. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Yes, sir. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the army of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or the lust thereof. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Thy offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to go in this world halt. In other words, deprive yourself. Feel that you have been, as it were, pressured, cut down, inhibited. Because down the road, there's a freedom or a bigger price. Yeah. That's all right for this morning. The Lord bless you. I want to talk tonight. It's going to be not a reversal, but it's going to be absolutely on the discerning of the body. You're going to be surprised. From discerning the Lord's body, who can take communion from that side? Now, what a born-again believer really believes, what he really sees, and how he sees it, where he moves, and how he moves. And we may get rid of some revolving doors in some of the churches.
Amen.
Thank you. I've tried for years with little success. We're getting some now, I hope. I love you. If you love me, I hope you do this right. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I would never lie to you. Unless it paid. And this doesn't pay because this is an eternity in my heart. I may be the most guilty person here this morning going to the table of God, but there's one thing I know. I have got to. I have got to do what he said and go. That means I got to do those things some way, somehow that I've got to do. I'm working on them, brother, sister. But I got to work harder. Because if I don't, he's going to work harder. And I'll wish that I had just listened instead of felt. Feeling is not near as good as hearing. But I'll tell you one thing, and I say it truly with all my heart. If he does have to take you in hand and whip you around, it's good for you. It'll do you good, brother, sister. I can testify today, God knows my heart. That is the truth. And you're looking to the least of the saints, if not the worst of the saints. I can tell you that. Now, and I'm not apologizing, for I'm just telling you the truth. But I can say this to the glory of God, that he won't lose one of us. The righteous man will fall seven times, but the Lord will raise him up. And he instituted a sweet little emblematic ceremony. Said, look, I've got you coming and going. Don't fool with me. You believe that? See, God came down to our level when he did that. That's right. He said, don't fool with me. Because I've got you coming and going. You have got to do it. And if you do it wrong, I'm going to get you. And if you don't do it, I'm going to get you. Huh? I think it's time to clean up, eh? God help us today to pray one for each other. To get within the embrace of true love, which means to do what God wants us to do, and we wouldn't do it except it was for God. Then you're going to see real love, brother, sister. Until that hour, you won't know it. Because you're going to pick favorites. You're going to pick positions. It won't work. It's got to be word. I believe that. I know that. I feel like a louse up here preaching. I feel like a hypocrite. I'm sorry, but I got to say it anyway. And I'm saying it, and I've said it.
We're there at the end time, brother, sister. By the grace of God, let us believe that never more will we come to the table of the Lord without being 100% honest and striving. Knowing that every ounce of energy we expend, He will expend a pound of it to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's good for us to be here to be cat of nine tails down. That's true. And Lord, you know I've always said that I'd have to face up one day. And I do face up, and seems like I never seem to learn them. Going right down another blind alley to get clobbered. And pray, Lord, that I prayed so many times for myself now and for the people, as you said, the priest going between the porch and altar confessing the sins. Also, we can pray, Lord, at this time, make my prayers, I pray, acceptable for the people, Lord, that from this time on there is such a sweet spirit of dedication and desire for the will of God that we will come speedily to the place where Brother Branham was when he said, I always do what I want. I want to please Him. Oh, God. I don't know what it's going to take, Lord. That's been an awful big prayer I just prayed. And I can just see myself smashed down and steamrolled. And I know, Lord, that that's all I'm good for anyway. So we commend ourselves to you today, Lord, and we know that that's just not an idle word. We really do commend ourselves to you. We're joining ourselves into your hands, O God, for your help today, that we who claim so much to live in the Spirit will walk in that Spirit, devoid of those things that smack of the world, the flesh, and the devil, not clinging to those promises, though they ever so real, and using them as some type of camouflage, but living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Oh, God. Lord, we're tired anyway. We dedicate ourselves. This is what you want. This is what it's going to be. This is what it's got to be. Accept us, Lord. Help now with the minds and the spirits to succumb entirely, to give up, to yield up. We ask that, Lord. You know our hearts, and if we're not sincere enough, who can we ask but you? Because you alone can grant repentance. You alone can grant anything, Lord. For except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, we want to know how to yield more and more to you and lean more upon you, as brother sang this morning. Learning to lean, yes, this is a time. This is a time, Lord, to come to the place having learned. We do lean. Bless each one here in divine presence. Father God, I hope, I don't know, nobody knows because we're so fallible, but in you we do know that there is that beautiful possibility of every church represented here being swept clean of sickness and premature death. We know it because it's in the Word. God, we know it's not some hocus-pocus thing, a rabbit's foot, some wishful thinking, some wishing on a star, but Lord, it's something laid out here in your Word. Help us to that end now. Oh God, just help us, that's all we can say. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ, that lovely, precious Lamb. Amen. The Lord bless you. Service tonight then at 6:30. We'll make it a little earlier, but I thought 6:30 would be fine. Set the service up, have a good song service that way, and then we'll go to the table of the Lord. And Brother Dave and Lloyd will work it out, how things would be worked out here for the easy passage of those who take the table of the Lord with us. Now let's just sing, We'll Walk in the Light. Lloyd, you're supposed to be up here now. This is your turn.